Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Get the Hillman Morning Show on demand. Podcasts and more are always online and on your schedule at WAAF.com.
With us this morning, Larry the Lawyer, Larry Army Jr. from armyandroach.com. Larry, of course, here's the disclaimer. Is not acting in an official capacity as your attorney right now. He's just offering his opinion on your legal question.
Which, we're hoping that those opinions are correct.
Yes, we hope that they are correct.
I think we're batting about 80%, Greg.
You can text your question or you can call with your question this morning. And we are starting with Jim on the Framingham Ford studio line. Hello, Jim.
Hi. How are you?
Hey, what's going on?
Well, I have a question about receiving somebody else's mail.
Okay.
It's been going on forever. I went to the post office. I've written on the mail, does not live at this residence.
Yep.
And now I've started getting his wife's mail.
Okay. Now, do you open it and read it? That's what
nope.
I would do.
Nope.
Okay.
So I don't touch it.
How long have you been receiving the mail intended for somebody else and his wife?
3 years.
Years?
The wife's just started showing up. Yeah.
Okay.
It's bizarre. And I brought it to the post office. What's my legal responsibility for this guy's mail?
Yeah, what is that? Great question. What is his legal responsibility for this man's mail?
Keep it in the box, put the flag up.
That's it.
That's pretty much it, man.
That's it. Okay,
take
so
it back.
He doesn't have to try to get it to
you
the guy.
You think people remember that's what the flag is on the side of that mailbox?
Probably I never knew that for years.
Until really?
Because growing up, I never had a mailbox.
Yeah.
But then once I got one, I was like, why? I never thought about that. Why are those there? And then I looked it up. I was like, oh.
What, did you guys have like a P.O. box because you were in East Boston or why?
No, they came all the way up to the house.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
oh,
usually,
very
like,
fancy.
I feel like a lot more like rural places or busier routes that have
very fancy. Over there in Eastie.
Yeah, I was in a triple decker in Orient Heights, kid. I was in the nice section, right behind behind the blue line over there.
No real responsibility there, right?
Put the flag up, keep it in the box.
All right,
it's illegal to open it, right?
You cannot open it. Federal offense if you open somebody else's mail up.
Let's see. Question for Larry. This is a 508 text. My husband has parking tickets from 2008 that I don't believe he has acknowledged, but he is worried about having to pay them before he renews his license. Is there a statute of limitations? And if so, has it run out?
So you got to renew your license every 2 years. Mm-hmm. So if the tickets were 2008.
License.
Yeah.
Registration, right? I thought a license was like, isn't a license longer than 2 years?
Maybe
it's 5 years.
Isn't it like 5 years?
5 years now.
Hey, Larry is a lawyer.
Oh, I guess that.
Yeah, but I don't work at the registry. Listen, this is why I have my associates here.
Everybody during this segment is an amateur lawyer, so
right.
Don't worry about it.
Well, even if it's 5 years, that would have been 2013 that he would have had to renew. Worst case scenario, right?
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure you're okay.
Probably okay on that. Probably A-okay.
Yep, probably okay.
All right. This is Ron on the Framingham Ford studio line. What's up, Ron? Ron?
Juan.
Oh,
Juan.
Sorry.
J-U-A-N.
It says Ron on my computer screen. I sincerely apologize. What's up, Juan?
All right. So I was caught up in that water main explosion back in August last year.
Where?
And
where?
In Worcester.
Okay.
In Worcester. I made the news and everything. And so my legal question is, I've submitted a claim to the city. And I'm just waiting. I was wondering if there's another way to go about this.
So your vehicle was, I'm assuming your vehicle was destroyed?
Yeah, completely waterlogged. I had to get rid of it.
Okay. And so you submitted a claim to the city and you haven't heard back. What's his recourse there, Larry?
So Juan, did you put a claim in through your personal insurance carrier?
I already went through the insurance and they don't cover me. They didn't cover me at all.
Wow.
Because I had basic insurance.
Oh.
They said, pretty much you're on your own.
You didn't have the exploding water main coverage that everybody should get.
I mean, to be honest with you, usually that basic coverage, compulsory coverage, covers when you're at fault.
Yeah.
In this particular instance, you're not at fault. The city is. I'm surprised they're not covering and then going after the city for you. You should really take a look at your policy.
So go back to the insurance company?
Yeah, having said that, if that's not going to work for you, you know, what I tell everybody is you writing a letter to the city of Worcester, putting in a claim versus a lawyer writing a letter is a different, it's a different situation.
Yeah.
They don't want to have another open case. Nobody wants to do that. So, you know, if you're not getting where you need to get to, you may want to think about having somebody write a letter on your behalf and see if that gets you anywhere.
Okay.
If not, by the way, Greg, he can always file a lawsuit against the city.
Here's a 617 text. Besides a prenup, how can you protect yourself before marriage, house, money in the bank, and a business?
So a prenup is obviously the best way to do it. But about, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court came down and talked about certain irrevocable trusts. So if you have property that's in an irrevocable trust, meaning that you cannot change who the property goes to, and certain situations where you're a beneficiary of that trust, the entire trust can be outside of the marital estate as well.
So should he put, why doesn't he want to do, why don't they want to do a prenup?
Well, it's tough to ask. I mean, look, a lot of people feel awkward asking their soon-to-be spouse for a prenup.
Yeah. So I mean, just put it in an irrevocable trust, the business, whatever it is?
That's certainly one option. Okay. Look, I mean, before you get married, you know, it's good that you're thinking this way. You don't want to think about having a failure. It's that old hope for the best, plan for the worst situation.
Yeah.
If you have any substantial assets, you should talk to an attorney and figure out what all of your options are prior to the marriage.
Before you get married, don't.
this is Sharon on the Framingham Ford studio line. Hi, Sharon.
Hi, how you doing?
What's going on?
Okay, so my husband was issued a subpoena a couple of months ago. And the day that he was supposed to go, he was called the night before and said, no, it's rescheduled for next week. Then the next week comes. He got a phone call from his attorney. It says, oh, no, they reschedule it. They rescheduled it. They'll let us know. So at what point I wanted to know, and my attorney didn't know, is at what point do they need to reissue a written subpoena with a new date? Or do they just keep calling on a whim and say, hey, now it's next week?
I mean, it sounds really more like what's going on here is a little bit of professional courtesy between attorneys. You know, if you send out a subpoena and you miss your date, you know, you should technically send out a new subpoena with the new date. But, you know, it's normal in Massachusetts and other states for attorneys to get together and move dates without going through the process of re-subpoenaing.
And that can go on forever?
Well, not forever. It can go on until the discovery phase of a case closes. You know, I don't know if your case is in Superior Court or District Court, there's usually a discovery order or some type of scheduling order that you get, which tells you when these deadlines are. But typically, discovery has to be done prior to the trial, and typically it's months prior to the trial.
Here's a text, 561 text, on my way to court to fight for visitation with my son. Is there anything I definitely should or should not say or do?
This list is so long, Greg.
That might influence it, yeah.
Listen, there are so many things that you should say and you should do, but the list of things you shouldn't say and you shouldn't do are equally as long. You know, and to be honest with you, without getting any kind of information about the facts about why you're not seeing your child, it's difficult to help with this particular question.
Yeah.
I will tell you, everybody out there, if you're going to court for custody or visitation of a child, that is the one area that you should absolutely, no matter what, have an attorney.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you're talking about your children and your relationship with your children. To go in there on the morning of court, which is going to start up in another 15 minutes, and not know what you should and shouldn't say, is literally a recipe for disaster and failure.
It is. You should have an attorney. It's worth the money, right?
Yeah. Well, you can't.
I don't know, Greg. What else do you spend your money on other than your kids?
Right. Yeah, right.
But the hard part about it is that's why you need to make sure you have a lawyer, because your emotion will set you through the roof because of what the other lawyer says.
Yeah. Can this guy now hearing this, can he go to court and say, can I get a delay or some kind of stay
or something like that? So he can say, hey, you know what? I realized that I need a lawyer and I didn't realize this before. Can you give me a week or two to get a new... courts are accommodating, especially for what's called a pro se litigant, somebody that's in court that doesn't have an attorney, they're pro se. So, you know, courts are pretty accommodating with that, depending on how far along you are.
Question for Larry, 617 text. Is there any way for a parent to set something up where your kids will not have to pay taxes on their inheritance or property that you're going to leave for them?
So it depends on what your value of your estate is. There's a whole bunch of ways that you can minimize taxes, whether you take it outside of the probate estate, life insurance. There's a whole bunch of vehicles that you can purchase or that you can put together to avoid taxes.
With regard to what else one might spend their money on, a 978 texter says Greg spends his money on ugly sports coats.
Excuse me, that sport coat is very attractive.
I got a lot of compliments on that.
A lot of people were buzzing about it at the Greg Hill Foundation Days event at the UMass Club, especially with the pocket square.
I just got asked by Mr. Sid himself to do a modeling campaign for them in that sport coat.
Oh, are they opening a big and tall section?
What costs more, 20 billable hours at Larry's office or that pocket square?
Well, I didn't know how much it was. Can I just give some advice? Before buying a sport coat,
before they tailor it, inquire
about the price.
Look at the tag. Oh, there's no tags at Mr. Sid's, are there?
And then if there's a chance that somebody might know who you are because you have a radio show, sure. You can't walk out after looking at the price because then they say you're cheap or frugal.
So or then smart.
Then you have to pay for it. All right. Let's see. One of LB's favorite callers, Joe the Miserable Sports Fan, is on the Framingham Ford studio line during Ask an Attorney. Hello, Joe.
Hey, go Bees, kid.
What's up, Joe?
Hey, if somebody had a settlement and a divorce and there was going to be a cash payout and that wasn't paid when they said they were going to, is the only recourse to just go back? If someone's trying to be like a complete jerk and hold off on the money.
Yeah, but the good news is you can file what's called a contempt. Much, much easier, much more efficient. You'll be in court within 60 days, and if it's a clear and unequivocally clear court order that they're willfully disobeying by not paying you, then they're going to end up paying your attorney's fees typically, and they're going to end up paying that amount. Judges with contempts have the ability to put somebody in jail if they don't do things like this, like pay money over and over again. Happens every week. You'll see somebody get carted off from probate court in their cuffs.
Larry, are you sick too? Everybody on this show is sick. Danielle, LB.
Cough drops that she has.
Yes, okay. Go ahead.
Why wouldn't the bonehead lawyer have, like, seen that through, by the way?
Yeah.
Or is it out of their hands?
So, A, I don't know why you're calling the lawyer a bonehead. That's not very nice, especially when you're talking to a lawyer who's trying to give you some free advice. Sure. But we'll let that slide. And let me say this. Once the agreement is drafted, seems to me the lawyer did a good job because it's clear to you that you're supposed to or somebody's supposed to get money that they didn't get. You know, people forget this, especially in a divorce situation. Lawyers aren't the ones that made you marry the fool that you're divorcing. That was your personal choice. Now, what did you expect? You divorced this person because you don't get along or he or she didn't do what you wanted him to do, and now you're surprised that they're not paying you the money that your lawyer skillfully and artfully drafted a document for you to get. Not your lawyer's fault. Look in the mirror. Choose a better spouse. Bring her in on contempt. You'll get your money. Use a lawyer.
978 text. My son is a freshman in college and has just been placed on probation. Oh, gosh, now I got to back this text machine up myself because the text messages are coming in so fast and furious. He was put on probation. He was non-compliant in regard to a routine fire drill. Mm. He wears hearing aids and was in the shower at the time, and that's a place that you can't wear hearing aids. His response time was slow because of this, and now he's been labeled a student not in good standing. He has to pay a $100 fine. Is there anything that I can do about this with the college?
These are the ones you wish they called, don't you?
Yes, yes.
Because you know, I mean, anybody in this room think that this kid that has a disability and hearing loss got written up and fined because he didn't hear a fire alarm.
What are you saying? Are you not buying it?
I am not buying it.
You're not buying
it? Not even a little bit, because this falls under, doesn't make any sense at all.
You're so skeptical when these people call.
Is it just use your brain? This is the problem with the world, Greg.
Yes,
people forget to think. Your kid had issues there before. He slept through multiple fire drills for them to get this mad and give him a written warning because he was showering up without his hearing aids in.
Okay.
First of all, you cannot discriminate against somebody for a physical disability like not being able to hear.
Right.
So I would imagine that it and the school's aware of this. The Americans with Disability Act comes in here. So, I mean, you just got to think about this, Greg.
Yeah. There's something else going on.
100%.
Okay. Let's see. Here's a 978 text. I like Larry. Where is his office, and does he handle divorces? There's somebody who's getting divorced.
Yes, we do. Worcester and Boston, Greg.
Worcester and Boston.
We cover the entire state.
Okay. ArmyandRoach.com. And do you prefer to represent men or women?
I prefer to represent the person that is right.
Okay.
Which is, by the way, 99% of the time, my client, Greg.
Your client is always right.
My clients are always right. Starts by hiring the best lawyer they can. Hey, by the way, do you want a lawyer that doesn't think he's the best?
No, of course you do. Right. Of course,
it's not me being cocky or arrogant, people. It's that confidence that comes with 22 years of doing this.
Let's see.
My cousin Vinny.
Utes.
Here's a text. Can Massachusetts cops ticket you for an expired New Hampshire inspection sticker? This recently happened to me.
Yes.
They can do that.
They can.
Okay,
oh, it's not their jurisdiction. You're going to try to slide on that one because you're in another state. Get your car inspected.
I mean, your car is in Massachusetts. Right. It's not inspected. Massachusetts has a rule that you have to have an inspected car.
So there's no technicality here.
And by the way, do you know that meter maids, are you even allowed to say that anymore?
No. No.
They're
meter
they're
people.
Parking regulation attendants.
Okay, well, those people.
Yeah.
You know those people can give you a ticket for an inspection sticker?
Yeah.
And you're not, it really shouldn't be that way because it's a moving violation. You're not moving. Your car's just parked there.
It's
just it's a money grab.
Everything is a money grab. This segment is a money grab.
Hello, Brian.
Hey, good morning, Hillman Morning Show.
What's up, Brian?
What's up, buddy?
What's up?
Hey, so I made a big mistake. Last year, March, I was divorced. I had a 3-bedroom ranch. It was open. I invited a quote-unquote friend to come stay with me, and all I asked him to do was pay the electric bill.
Yep.
So for the first few months, everything was fine. He paid the electric bill. Midsummer, I'm like, hey, you know, he took over my whole house. I'd like to get some money from him. So I asked him for some money, and he ignored me. Long story short, come January 1st, you know, a few months ago, I said, look, I want $100 a week. He agreed to that, and everything was fine. Then I was just looking at the details. I'm like, hey, this isn't enough. You have my whole house. I want more money. He says, I'm not going to give you any more money. And I said, all right, well, then you got to go. He wanted a court order to leave, so I gave him a court order. Long story short, I did get him out, but he didn't pay the electric bill for the last 3 months. With that being our agreement, do I have a small claims court case?
Yeah, but I'll tell you this. You need to pay the bill. I assume the electric bill's in your name?
It is in my name.
Yeah, I mean, I would pay the bill and then file a small claims action against him in the county where the land where the land lies.
All right, perfect.
All right.
Perfect.
All right.
You guys rock. Thank you so much.
Anytime, buddy.
Thank you. Here's a text that says, I like Larry. Can I take him out? I'm a 29-year-old smoke.
Oh.
I am happily involved with somebody, but I appreciate the offer.
Oh,
I'm available.
You're a project.
I'll put a suit on for you. Do some lawyer talk while we're having a steak.
And by the way, I vote for him. You know, I'll give you a couple lines. You'll
You better get that get that thing taken out. It's been a few months since you've worn it there.
Can you say quid pro quo?
Quid pro quo.
All right,
now,
so
three
Larry,
times fast.
For all the ladies that are texting in, Larry the lawyer, not available.
No, but I will say this. Yes. I appreciate all those comments on your Instagram.
Yes.
They're hanging up over my bed.
Oh, you got those hanging up?
Yes. Yeah. I'm thinking about myself with a mustache.
Oh. Well, I guess that's better than the live, laugh, love sign that's going to be there in about a year. Always kiss me goodnight.
Comment. Oh, no, you're going to have one of those loving home pillows, pillows on the home sweet home throw pillows on the bed sooner than later. All right. Are you? Do you have to be in court or can you hang for a little bit?
Court can wait.
Okay. All right. Court can wait. Larry, the lawyer, is here. This is Ask an Attorney, and we will be right back to answer your questions. Larry, the lawyer, is here, and it is our Ask an Attorney segment. You can text or you can call with your question. We're about to get to a heartbreaking text from some grandparents.
Oh, no. Oh.
Actually, Danielle, if you could you print that one out for me before it goes away? But first, a lot of questions today, Larry, the lawyer, about the Jussie Smollett case. And I'm wondering, as an attorney, if you feel like justice was or was not served, when it comes to this former Empire actor and what happened in Chicago?
So, you know, that's a loaded question.
Yes.
And I'm probably going to piss a lot of people off.
Yeah.
But the reality is this is, if you don't have a record and this is the kind of situation that you're in, most of the time deals get worked out and things go away for a first offense. So I don't disagree with the prosecutor on that fact. And look, he did pay a $10,000 fine. Having said that, I personally, as an attorney, don't believe that the punishment fits the crime in this particular case. And then, and you know, when I say crime, obviously there is no crime now because they've dismissed it. But I think when you go out and you use race, and I don't care what color you are or who you are, if you're white, black, purple, or green, and you use race to try to incite people and the emotions of people the way that he did, I think that contributes to racism, no matter which color it is.
Yeah.
And I think that racism, period, is not a good thing.
Yeah. So,
I think he got off very light.
Yeah. But I guess that's an interesting point. They kept his $10,000 bond.
Correct.
Which indicates, even despite what he says, I think a lot of people are bothered that he held
that press. It's a deal. I mean, that was a deal. That wasn't a vindication.
He held that press conference yesterday and said he's innocent. And it's, I mean, I think that's what people are.
If he's innocent, why did it cost him 10 grand?
Correct, right?
Boom.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Question about a swing set. 978 text. Yes. I love this segment. It says, Larry, if I am selling my home with a swing set out back that isn't in the best shape. Now, let me just say this as a parent for decades. A swing set in the backyard is only in good shape for about the first 6 months that you have it there. They are never in good shape, and they deteriorate rapidly out there. I think so. You have to buy a new one. I think that's their plan. What do they
call
that?
Remember those old
planned obsolescence?
Yes.
Yeah.
Remember those old the iron ones that we used to get?
Oh, gosh. The rusty.
The
rusty
iron. Get out after your first
tetanus.
However, the new owners have kids, and if they hurt themselves using it after they've moved in and we've moved out, could we be at fault?
So the good news is no, you cannot be at fault.
Okay.
When you record a deed, you convey all right, title, and interest in that property, and even the purchase and sales agreement is extinguished once you record that deed. So the things that you get are the right to use the property, the right to have, you know, ownership of the property, the kinds of things that you get when you record the deed. And that swing set is no longer your swing set the minute that deed is recorded. It's the owner's swing set. So if the kids get hurt, I guess they could sue their parents.
Yeah.
But they're certainly not going to be able to sue you.
Okay. All right. That's good. Good information.
News.
All right. This is kind of a sad one. My husband and I have been raising our 7-year-old grandson pretty much since birth. His mother, my daughter, is still in the picture and lives nearby. However, we have an agreement that until she moves into a larger apartment, he can live with us. Now, she is considering moving to Florida to be closer to her father's side of the family. Do I have any rights under the law to prevent her from moving or at least taking my grandson with her?
How long have they had the grandson, did it say?
Pretty much since birth, for 7 years, it says.
So there's a couple things. First and foremost, grandparents in Massachusetts have grandparent rights to visitation of a child. So if you prove that you have had a consistent, loving relationship and it's in the best interest of the child to continue that relationship, grandparents can actually go into court and apply for visitation schedules. The second thing, Greg, is that if you believe that you're in the best interest of that child and the mom or the dad is not capable of caring for the child, you can file a guardianship petition, have that go from a temporary to a permanent. You can do that even over the objection of the parent, mm-hmm. although the standard is difficult to reach.
Yeah. Does the court prefer that the child is with the parents over the grandparents?
Yeah, I mean, it's a constitutional thing as well, Greg. I mean, you know, you have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, of which, you know, having your own children is part of that, if you ask me. But again, it's a balancing, it's a litmus test of the best interest of that child. You know, why? I mean, look, if you abandon a kid from 0 to 7, that kid's bonded with the grandparents. That kid thinks that the grandparents are the parents. You know, the third thing I will tell you, and it's, you know, it's not used nearly as much, but it's an interesting way to look at this particular case. Massachusetts a while back had this line of cases that came down in the Supreme Judicial Court that talked about a de facto parent. You know, so they have this status in Massachusetts now that you can be a de facto parent versus a real parent, which basically is this situation. When you have a child that you've raised as your own for an extended period of time like this, it's really not fair to have that child ripped away from you the way that this seems to be going. So there's three potential options for these people. They definitely want to speak to an attorney and get ahead of this versus trying to make a deal with this woman, because if they don't have any kind of legal rights to this child and she grabs the child and flies off to Florida, yes, game over.
Now, the fact would the fact that Danielle calls me daddy indicate that I am her de facto parent?
Yeah. You know, there's so much I could say here. Good thing LB's asleep in the corner.
This is Jamie.
I was just going to say, it makes it even that much more weird that he wants to have sex with his daughter.
Hello, Jamie. What's up, Jamie?
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, so I've been getting my taxes done by this accounting firm in New Hampshire for the last 5 years, and everything was going well, I thought. And then I got this tax bill the end of last year. From the state of Massachusetts, saying that I had owed them $1,300 when, I had been getting a tax return every year. So after looking into it, the state of Massachusetts, basically, they word for word told me, your accountant needs to read the book. And, they were basically making clerical errors that, led to me, accruing like $400 in interest and penalties.
Yeah.
And, and having the tax debt. I was just wondering, I reached out to the accountant. They basically told me to, go to hell, basically. Yeah. So is there anything I could do? I was paying $300 an hour for an accounting service. And, I have no problem paying the tax bill. Clearly, it's just an error that led to me owing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But,
anything Jamie can do with regard to the accountants?
Yeah, so the first thing, Jamie, make sure you pay the taxes, penalties, and interest immediately so you stop the penalties and interest from accruing. The second thing I would do is I would file a small claims action against your accountant. If they're a New Hampshire firm, you may have the right to file in Massachusetts. You certainly have the right to file in New Hampshire. I think that you're probably not going to be successful in that lawsuit to get the $1,300 in taxes, because if you owed the taxes and they did it right, you would have paid the taxes when you owed them. Mm-hmm. What I do think you may have a cause for is the interest and penalties. You have to decide, is spending a $50 fee, spending a half hour to do the court documents, and then spending an hour or two down in the small claims worth $400 to you?
Yeah.
That's only a question you can answer.
I recently had, this is a 774 text for Ask an Attorney. I recently had a severe slip and fall at my wife's grandmother's house. I will be out of work a minimum of 3 months due to injury, which required surgery. If I were to go through her grandmother's homeowner's insurance, how bad would that affect her grandmother? I don't want to hurt her in any way, but the next 3 months will be tough on my family financially.
So I would definitely go after her homeowner's insurance.
You would.
That's why we pay for insurance. The coverage is there. She paid for the coverage. Having said that, Greg, the bad thing about insurance in this country is that it's one of those exempt businesses where you just don't see them go out of business. And the reason is they're going to pay the claim. Then they're probably going to cancel her policy in the next minute. The good news is in Massachusetts, there's always another insurance company. And if there isn't, the state has a fund where they'll insure properties with people that are otherwise non-insurable.
So he should do it even though it's his wife's grandmother.
Yeah, I mean,
he should basically go after this older woman.
Who's Sue's grandma?
Really, Larry?
It's not his grandmother. It's his wife's grandmother.
Larry Sue's grandmother. Larry Sue's great-great-great-grandmother. Oh. He doesn't care.
Listen, if it's a known defect and Grammy should have fixed it and this poor guy got hurt, what are you going to do?
You're right. It's a known defect.
Right? I'm not trying to be mean. I love a grandmother just as much as the next guy.
You're right.
Yeah, but that's why that's why you buy insurance, right?
That's why you buy insurance. By the way, the right grandma, the kind that you're talking about, is going to
shut up.
Oh, Sonny, you go and do what you need to do. Don't you worry about grandma. She'll be all right.
Am I wrong?
That's true. Grandma spoil you.
I graduated, here's a 978 text, I graduated from college in December of 2015 with a bachelor's degree. My school announced a year before I graduated that they were closing. Can I get my $55,000 loans forgiven, or am I stuck paying them still?
You know what I love? They got the degree. Like, you went through 4 years of school, you walk out with a college degree, and now you want, because the school failed, you want to get your money back.
Wait.
Like, that's already, what we're talking about,
they
right?
They got their diploma? Or
yes.
They
graduated
in 2015.
Yeah, with a bachelor's degree.
Well, they're done
degree.
Then.
Yeah.
Obviously, they didn't learn a thing from this school. Like, you know, Greg, most of your listeners are awesome, but every once a show, we have these people that are just trying to get something for nothing.
Yeah,
like
this. The Yelp of law firms.
Listen to this one. I am a contractor for a company that is going to be sold for a large sum of money in the next few months. Is there any way that I can go about proving that my work has led to the success of this sale and get me a portion of that sale price?
Zero. And by the way, I would be willing to bet that your work did contribute to these people getting this big sales price, but I would also venture to guess that they paid you every week, that you negotiated a salary, you took that money, and by the way, Greg, start your own damn company if you want to get bought out.
By the way, several texters pointing out that when Larry said, "I love a grandma as much as the next guy," that's not accurate. If the next guy is shoe,
I realized
if the next guy is my shoe.
Yep, there's always that a-hole.
I thought that was going somewhere totally
different.
So
just because, let me just be clear on this. Just because you work at a place that eventually ends up selling for money, you're not entitled as a worker to be given a portion of that money. Unless it's unless you're AOC.
Unless you're the number one radio host in the Boston market, right? I mean, that's a different story.
Don't say number one in the building. I just go by the weekly ratings.
Are there any other stations in this town other than the 18 in this building?
Well, there's we have like 9 stations, and I'm only talking about adults. 2554.
I'm talking about
Number one in the building.
Oh.
How about that's just 1 week?
Just 1 week. Greg,
I don't judge
you're
off
a
of,
hack.
I don't judge.
How are you even still in this city?
Yeah. Let's see. This is John. Hello, John.
Yes, hello.
What's up, John?
Yeah, I was giving a call. I bought a flip house, and there's a car in the garage. It went through the foreclosure process, everything.
Yeah.
And the car is from 2003. But the woman that it's registered to has been dead for years.
Okay.
And the husband did go through the proper probate court, I guess, or whatever. So when I go to the DMV, it's like they're telling me that I have to either junk the car or I have to be a dealership or a tow company in order to use the abandonment thing so I can get it possession of this car.
So you bought the house to flip. You're a flipper, and there's a car sitting in there. Is there a way that he can...
Basically, two options. Option number one, you take it down to the salvage yard, and you get your steal value. Option number two, you get it towed out. What they're talking about at the registry, and this is pretty interesting, Greg, tow companies have a statute in Massachusetts that basically says if you fail to pay your tow bill and it hits a certain number, they have the right to apply to the Registry of Motor Vehicles to get the title to your car.
Okay.
So they actually, if you don't pay your tow, no matter what you have, like say you're in the airport, they tow your Porsche, it's there for a year, tow company goes to the registry, they could actually claim ownership of that car to pay the bill.
Okay. But this is sitting in the flip house that he
bought. Yeah. So, I mean, bring it down to the salvage yard, get your steal value, and call it a day.
508 text. My phone was stolen in Boston on Saturday. I was very intoxicated getting an Uber outside a bar. And in that state, these guys convinced me to allow them to use my phone, and then they took it and sent themselves $1,000 via Venmo and used Uber rides on my phone. Since I technically let them use my phone, do I have a case?
Well,
wow.
This is.
I mean, that really sums it up right there. You want to handle this one?
I mean...
So you let somebody use your phone doesn't mean they can Venmo themselves a grand.
Look, there's two issues here. Yeah. Certainly, they don't have the right to steal your money.
No.
Yes.
But.
But can you prove it?
It's duress, isn't it? The guy was drunk, Larry.
It's intoxication. And it's actually not typically a defense in Massachusetts.
What? Intoxication is not a defense?
I mean, you can use it, but you have to be so whacked out that, like, it's... You're on Mars. Seriously.
You've
got to
be
you can't
lit,
just, hey,
you have to be Liddy AF, as we discussed earlier.
Turnt.
Or turnt. You have to be turnt or Liddy. So, okay. Interesting question here. 508 text about Mr. Kraft. Larry, I am curious as to why Mr. Kraft didn't take the deal that the district attorney offered him. If you don't know the news today, Mr. Kraft has pled not guilty and asked for a jury trial.
He didn't take the deal, Greg, because he thinks he's innocent and he wants to prove his innocence.
And does he, I've heard a theory that you know, they were trying to make this case about sex trafficking, and yet they conducted video surveillance for an extended period of time. So I've heard that some attorneys believe that if you go to court and you say, how concerned about the sex trafficking were you if you let these sexually trafficked women continue to work for months while conducted this surveillance? What was it that long? Was
I think it was 8 months, if I remember correctly.
I mean, there's a lot of issues, to be honest with you.
Does somebody like, does he believe, does Mr. Kraft believe that he will get a better, I was going to say shake, but that might not be the best choice of...
take it like a Polaroid picture.
Do you think that he believes he'll get a better verdict from a jury
I think he believes he's going to get a not guilty.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, chances are he's going to get a not guilty.
You think so? Yeah, you think he's going to get off?
I do think he's going to get off. I think
Oh, Jesus.
That's why you're good, kid.
Watch.
I don't think he is.
You don't think so?
I do.
Just, by the way, the rest of the country hates the New England Patriots.
Doesn't even matter because there was mistakes made. I think that, listen, as a lawyer, I have a couple problems. The first is what you just talked about, and, you know, the video surveillance, the reason it was there, the length of time. But the other issue I have with is when they stopped all these cars going out, they certainly have the right to take the license of the driver, although they weren't committing any infractions.
Yeah.
But then to grab the license of the passenger is pretty unusual.
Yeah.
I'm not saying the police don't have the right to do that. There are occasions they do, but I'm not sure this is one of them.
Huh.
So yeah. I do think there's some legal issues. If he has any legs with these legal issues, they're not going to have any evidence.
Yeah.
Because you know the girls aren't going to testify.
What about the video?
I mean, if they get the video out, there's nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the point.
If they can have the video thrown out.
Yeah, so the way this works is his attorneys are going to file what's called a motion to suppress, which means you want to take that piece of evidence and not have it come into your trial. It was either illegally obtained, wasn't followed the rules of whatever the rules are down there to bring it in.
Yeah.
They lose the video, they lose the case. You know, and keep in mind, when you take a deal, you have to plead that you did the things that they're telling you they did.
Yeah.
Which I mean, look, why would he take that chance? He's got all the money in the world.
He can get a texter.
Get the best lawyers in the world.
A texter says, no offense, Larry, but he has the money to get the best lawyers in the world.
Right.
I mean,
I don't do criminal law in Florida. Otherwise, I'm sure he'd be calling me if he knew it was right.
What about the letter of apology? Like that apology statement.
He didn't admit guilt in there.
But he said, I got to apologize to my family and everything. So what's he apologizing for?
For the embarrassment.
Sorry.
I mean, look.
Of what?
He went to the Oasis Orchid Salon and got two girls rubbing him.
So isn't that kind of like you're admitting it?
I don't know. Is there some sort of...
Look, I mean, you could argue that, but I mean, the way they wrote that, I don't see that being an admission that he committed a crime. It's certainly an admission that he did something embarrassing or that he embarrassed his family and his legacy. I know that he's worried about his father's legacy. I read that yesterday, and that's a part of this as well. And look, I mean, trial's going to be in probably 9 months to a year. Let's see what happens. But smart money says not guilty.
Well, I feel like if he is found not guilty, then this story will have a happy ending.
So here's the way the happy ending.
You gotta stop that.
Seriously. I'm putting you on a limit. What?
You think after he wins that, you think Gronk will come back? It's kind of like Mueller and Avenetti for Trump, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Let's see. This is Jeremy on the Framingham Ford studio line during Ask an Attorney. What's up, Jeremy?
What's up, morning show?
What's up?
Question for Larry. I work for a nautical contractor. Probably shouldn't say that because he's probably listening. But we do all prevailing wage work, and he forcefully demands we take 25% of our payout every week to put into a 401k. And I want to put 10, but he will not let us. And I want to know if that's legal to do. I thought we could pick what we wanted to contribute to the 401k. But
interesting question.
I don't know.
Yeah, you could pick what you want. You don't even have to contribute to a 401k.
Oh, you can't. So an employer, are you an employee or are you a contract employee?
I am an employee of the electrical company.
And so you're saying that you cannot force somebody to contribute to a 401k.
No.
You can't be forced to do that, Jeremy.
No, I thought you were going to tell me he's not paying you prevailing wage. I was getting excited.
No.
That's a class action,
baby.
Woo! All right, thanks, guys.
Okay.
Good luck.
No, you can't.
By the way, save as much money as you can on that 401k. You're going to need it one day.
Here's a text asking what your guess is at what Mr. Kraft will pay legal fee-wise for his defense in this case, all told.
So if that was you know, a regular person down the road, you're probably talking $3,000 to $5,000.
Yeah,
I'd be willing to bet you with him, it's $25,000 to $50,000.
$25,000 to $50,000.
Yeah. Yeah, of course
they're
going
to gouge him.
Oh, it's worth it.
Absolutely,
it's worth
they're
it.
Like, we know what's going on.
Yeah. It's worth it though.
If he wins,
yeah.
Right. this is Rob. Hello, Rob.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
What's up, Rob?
Not much. I've got a question for Larry about my divorce. I was married in '86, filed for divorce in April of 2010, and I was divorced. My absolute date of divorce was May of 2012, which was shortly after the new divorce laws changed the end of alimony to retirement age. But the wording of my divorce decree says the husband shall pay the wife alimony until death of either party or remarriage of the wife. Am I still stuck till death or retirement age?
So was it? I don't remember the exact date that it came out. But did your divorce happen after the Alimony Reform Act came into law?
Yes, May of 2012.
So it's one of those good news, bad news things for you, my friend. The bad news is that your lawyer put that language in there, and that's a contract, and it's probably going to be that you're going to have to pay alimony until she is remarried
or death. Yeah.
But the potential good news is that your lawyer should have known that language shouldn't be there when that new statute came out. Language that reflected the statute potentially. So you may have a cause of action against your lawyer. All the lawyers are going to be throwing darts at me today in court or whatever.
I did. You still there?
Yeah.
I
did ask my lawyer, sometime after that, and he goes, "Well, it's a new laws, and then all the judges are kind of getting used to it."
What do you think he's going to say? I made a mistake.
Right.
Come on, bro, no. Lawyer. You're talking to a lawyer. We never make mistakes. Just ask us.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, I mean, look, the law was there and the law was pretty clear. And I'm not saying that there haven't been cases that have interpreted it since, because there's been a bunch. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to say that things are the same that they looked to be back then when the statute came out. But as a lawyer, you are responsible for knowing that the laws change when they change. And you're responsible for drafting things to comply with the law. And especially in the divorce world, everybody thinks that's the easiest thing to do. To be honest with you, it's probably the most complicated thing to do. So you got to be really careful when you're hiring a divorce lawyer, because they're dealing with business issues, tax issues, the law that changes on a daily basis, most of which is done by case law versus statute, although the Alimony Reform Act was one of the most significant changes we had. But it really touches everything, Greg. So they have to know everything. So you got to be very clear with your lawyer and who you're hiring with that kind of stuff.
Texter wants to know if you have seen the documentary on HBO, The Inventor, and why Elizabeth Holmes is not in jail.
So I have not seen it.
You haven't seen it, okay.
But now I'm going to be watching it this weekend.
All right.
You have to.
Next time you come in,
we'll talk about
The Inventor and why she is not in jail. All right, we got a few last few questions here for Larry, the lawyer. 508 text, does a company have to pay time and a half over 40 hours?
Yes.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, I mean, if you're an hourly employee.
Okay, yeah, hourly employee must be.
If you're
be,
an exempt
must,
employee, no.
Okay, exempt employee, but an hourly employee must be paid time and a half over 40 hours. Let's see, this is Robert on the Framingham Ford studio line. What's up, Robert?
Hi, good morning. How we doing?
Good, how you doing?
Not too bad. Hey, I had a question. I worked for a contractor that worked for Columbia during, I've been working that Lawrence Andover area for a long time. During the gas explosions, I can't really divulge exactly which company I'm working for right now, but during that time, there was a question about emergency activation and or prevailing wage and all of that that we didn't receive as non-union workers. I don't know about that, but the one that I had the real question on was the Columbus Day. Columbia paid my company premium time for working a national holiday all day, and we did not get that premium time until it was after 40.
Ah.
So, okay. You know, honestly, this one sounds like this should be a phone call off air. There's a lot going on here, and from the initial sounds of it, this may be something substantial.
So call your office.
My office will help. We don't do that stuff, but I certainly have people that do it. You can reach out to us through the internet.
Feinstein and Ferlizzi, would that be something that they would do?
No, this is honestly a pretty specialized area.
What happened to Fur Lizzy? Larry, do you know what happened to Fur Lizzy?
He got rich by all of his ass.
He's on vacation. Permanent vacation.
He's on the beach in his Speedo.
Yeah. Fur Lizzy's on a boat somewhere.
Yes.
That's named Class Action Lawsuit.
Yes, on a big a humpback whale thing following the boat. Yeah. Big floaty.
He's on a boat that's named Settlement. All right. Larry, nice to see you.
It's my pleasure.
Of course, if you'd like to find Larry, he can be found at his law firm, Army and Roach, here in Boston and in Worcester. And the website is armyandroach.com.
And the Twitter is Larry Army, J-R-E-S-Q.
And you have a blog on Twitter where you offer all kinds of great legal stories.
Yeah, like I said, we try to take some of the questions that the listeners don't typically get to on the air, and we try to focus on one or two of those on a weekly or biweekly basis.
That's awesome.
Great to see you, pal.
Great to see you all.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.